Okay, so we're up to Simin Chav Zayin, Seif Beis, where it says as follows: Haminig Hanochain Sheyehe Hayud Shel Kesher Tfila Shel Yad Litzad Halev V'Hatfila Olav Litzad Chutz, which means as follows: When putting on the tefillin, so we all know whether one wraps Ashkenaz or Sfard, the Kesher is on the inside of the bias. If the bias rests on the arm, the Kesher is between, as it were, the bias and the body, as opposed to having the kesher on the outside of the bias, away from the body. So that's what he's saying. There is a possibility of arranging the batim in two ways, right? One can arrange the batim either such that the kesher is, or rather, not arranging the batim, but arranging the kesher such that it's inside the bias, between the bias and the guf. Or one can arrange the kesher such that it's to the outside of the bias. Haminig hanochen, the correct minig is sheyehe hayud shel kesher tefila shel yad letzad halev. It should be between the bias and the body. V'hatfila olav letzad chutz, with the bias, the tefila, resting to outside of the kesher, to the outside. Which means, as we said, that the kesher is between the bias and the body. This is another halacha, which is not so well known or not so well kept, and that is that the kesher should be tzamud to the bias. It should be snug up against the bias. Some people employ a thread, a gid, in order to keep it in place. And that's a recommended minig. Some people cut out part of the bias in a manner that keeps the kesher adjacent to the bias. And that's also, there are various ways that this end can be achieved. The Mishnah Berurah warns against doing it in a particular way. It's funny because the Mishnah Berurah says not to wrap it in a way that you have a gid under the bias, because then you have a chatzitza, halacha that we're going to get to soon. So he says to make sure that it runs through the tunnel or that it's only on top, whatever it may be. And I always wondered about why the Mishnah Berurah has to say that. I've never in my life seen or heard of anybody doing such a thing until last week, when somebody said to me that they have a problem, that they know the halacha, that the kesher has to be tzamud to the bias. So they wrap the gid around it. But then they were thinking that the gid goes under the bias. And is that a problem? So I said, yeah, actually, it is a problem. So we see that in the halachas of chatzitza, there are a lot of different shittas in what constitutes a chatzitza and what doesn't. And no, it's not necessarily going to be bottle. No. You put it through the tunnel. So the recommended way of doing it is either through the tunnel, or some people actually use the gid that they do the kshira with. They use that gid, so it's going through the holes. It's not even going through the tunnel. Okay. You could use a rubber band. The etzim, you could use a rubber band. The Rebbe Eliashiv preferred that it should be a gid rather than a rubber band or fishing wire. Some people use fishing wire because it's stronger than gid. It doesn't rip. So you could use fishing wire. You could use a rubber band. But again, Rebbe Eliashiv preferred, ideally, that it shouldn't be either of those. Rather, it should be a gid, which is the thread that the tefillin are sewn with, so that it should be me'ein ha-tefillin. Okay, gimel. Haminig hanochen letakin shehamabarta shebo harutzua iveres tehemunachas letzad ha-kosef v'haktzitza letzad ha-yad. So what this means is as follows. The tefillin are comprised of three elements, of now which we are discussing two, but once we're at it, we'll mention all three. The tefillin have a base. If you think about your tefillin, I guess I should have brought my tefillin in. There's no tefillin here. Yeah, if you don't mind. Let's take them out for 1 second. It'll make it a little bit easier. I would get up, but I'm afraid that I could electrocute myself. Okay, Shkaya, thank you. So here you have a typical pair of tefillin. So the tefillin are comprised of three elements. This base is called the titura. Okay, this upper half is called the ktsitsa. And this tunnel that the Ritzua runs through is known as the Ma'abarta. Okay? So these are, it's kedai to familiarize oneself with these terms because they're going to be coming up over and over and over and over again over the next couple of weeks. So again, the tunnel is called the Ma'abarta. Ma'avar, right? It's a passageway. So it's called the Ma'abarta. The ktsitsa is the upper part and the titura is the base. So what he's saying now is, "Haminig hanochen sheyehei hayud shel kesher tefillah shel yad letzad alev." Okay, so you're a lefty. Okay, so the kesher is toward the body. That's what we saw. And now this next halacha is, "Haminig hanochen letaken shehamavarta shebohar etzua iveres teimunachas letzad hakosef." That the ma'avarta is up here. It's on the top of the tefillin, near the shoulder, not on the bottom of the tefillin. One could arrange the tefillin such that the ma'abarta is at the bottom of the tefillin, next to the elbow. Haminig hanochen, says the mechaber, that the ma'abarta is on the upper half of the tefillin, right? Now, you're a lefty, so let's say somebody wants to put on the tefillin, I'm a righty, and I borrow tefillin from a lefty. So what should I do? I could put on the tefillin in one of two ways. I could put on the tefillin like this. But if I put on the tefillin like this, what's going to happen? The yud is on the outside. So he brings down in the Mishneh Berurah and the Bir Halacha that the correct minig is, if you're borrowing tefillin, to reverse them, turn them upside down. The ma'abarta will now be on bottom, but the kesher will be on the inside, which means that if these two halachas ever conflict, you can choose. Either you can have the ma'abarta on the top, as it's meant to be, or you can have the kesher on the inside, as it's meant to be. So it's much more important that the kesher should be on the inside than it is that the ma'abarta should be at the top. So l'chatchila, a normal person making a pair of tefillin, you mekayim both dinim. You have the kesher on the inside, and you have the ma'abarta on top. But when is it negeh? If you're borrowing tefillin, if you're a righty, and you're borrowing tefillin from a lefty, or vice versa, so then it's negeh. What's recommended is to turn the tefillin upside down. Parenthetically, I'll mention halacha, which we should get to today. Unless you know how to redo the kesher, yeah. Another halacha, which we'll get to today, hopefully, is that some people have a suffolk if they're a righty or a lefty, right? They're ambidextrous to a certain degree. So there are those that are machmir, that they put their tefillin shalyan on both hands every day, right? I know quite a number of people that do this. They put on their tefillin in the morning, and then when they're up to Ashrei Yavo Letzion, they take off their shalyad and they put it on the other hand because they have a suffolk, which hand is their primary hand. So what do? They turn the bias upside down because he's a righty now putting on tefillin of a lefty or vice versa. So I heard from one of the Gdeli Harabonim in our times that he said that that was in olden times that was the recommended practice. But today, that people have more money, people are more affluent, Baruch Hashem, so it would be worthwhile for such a person to make two shalyads. Ben Ishchai, actually, he says not like that. No. Ben Ishchai says not like that. But he said that this Rav said, one should make two shalyads. And I actually had somebody who once ordered for me a pair of tefillin with one shal rosh and two shalyads, a righty shalyad and a lefty shalyad. No, not at the same time. No. We put on one before, the one for davening and one either by Shmini Esrei, after Shmini Esrei, or by Asher Yavo Letzion, or after davening. That's a different discussion. Okay, so we went a little bit off topic, but it's not really off topic. So again, Haminig hanochen letaken shehamavarta shebo haretzua iveres teimunachas letzad hakosef. The ma'abarta should be on the shoulder side, v'haktzitza letzad hayad, and the ktzitza lower, right? And that's what we just discussed. Halacha dalet. So now we come to the sugya of chatzitza. So in the sugya of chatzitza, it's a very big sugya. It's impossible in a format like this one to encompass the entire sugya. But what's really important to know is that there's a Rashba that says that there's no din chatzitza on the tefillin shel resh. The din chatzitza is only on the tefillin shel yad. Now the Rashba says this in the Chidushin. It's Chidushei HaRashba on Shas. In the Tshuvas, the Rashba does not say this. The Rashba indicates in the Tshuvas that what he wrote in the Chidushim was just explaining the sugya, that that's the way it comes out. But he meant it lahalacha v'loy lamaisa. Okay, so that's going to explain the mechaber that we're about to read. Lo yehei davar chaitzitz bein tefillin lebesarei. One should not have a chatzitza between. By the way, regarding your point from before, the reason why it could be worse than a chatzitza is because some say, I think Birkei Yosef says, the chida, that it's not midin chatzitza. There's two dinim. There's one din chatzitza, and then there's another din that the tefillin has to be on the body. So if there's something in between the tefillin and the body, you're not mekayim that din. Even if it doesn't have a din chatzitza, now there's midine chatzitza, it would be bottle, like you were saying. But nonetheless, ultimately it's not on the body, and there's a din, then it has to be on the body. That's so dinim of chatzitza. There's a lot of room to be mekel on some dinim, and on the other hand, there's a lot of room to be machmer. So obviously, we try not to be mekel unless we have to be, such as cases like we're going to get to in a moment. So again, lo yehei davar chaitzitz bein tefillin lebesarei. One should not have a chatzitza between the tefillin and the skin, the flesh. Lo yishna shel yad, lo yishna shel rosh. So what he's coming here is to exclude the Rashba. You would think that on the shel rosh you would be able to have a chatzitza. So the mechaber is saying, no, we don't paskin like the Rashba. Hagah, says the Rama, v'dafka b'tefillin. What are we talking about? We're talking about the bias, the titura, right? The base of the tefillin can't have a chatzitza underneath it. Avol b'ritzuas ein lahakvid. But when it comes to the ritzuas, in other words, let's say somebody has a cast from the elbow down. Okay, so he can put the tefillin on correctly, and then he's just going to wrap the ritzuas on the cast. So that's no problem at all. Somebody has a splint on his finger. That's okay. So that's the idea that he's trying to get across, that the ikar kpeda of chatzitza is under the bias itself. But the ritzuas, there's more room to be makel. Now, lechatchila, the ritzuas of the kesher itself, in other words, I gave the example of a cast from the elbow down. What about if one has, let's say, he had surgery, so he has stitches and a Band-Aid on his forearm over here. So the ritzua, which is kosher, will have a chatzitza. What about over there? So there are those that want to say that ritzua, one would have to be machner. That ritzua has the same din as the bias. Similarly, on the head, if let's say a person has a bandage on just like one area of his head, so they would say that would be more chamor because the actual ritzua, which is doing the hiduk on the rosh, does have a din of chatzitza. But the Mishnah Berurah brings that there are those that argue on that as well. So again, if it's possible to be machmir, certainly one should try and be machmir. But if it's impossible, there are those to rely on.
So when can he wristwatch on?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. There's a tshuva from Rav Avadia Yosef where he has a whole discussion about a wristwatch, and he says that he spoke to the Chavina Rav, and the Chavina Rav didn't know what a wristwatch was. It's a shtekel of tzarachian over there, what he's talking about. But the bottom line is, yes. The minig is that people take off their watches, but al pi halacha, one really does not have to. Halacha hey, adam shehu olal nezilus, a person who easily catches cold, right? He gets the cold or the flu, pneumonia. Vim nitzarech laniach tefila shel roish al besarei lo yanichem klal. This is lemaisa. This is not an uncommon thing, especially think about back in Europe, where there was no normal heating and insulation, it was very, very cold. And to take your hat off and put on your tefillin, you're exposing your body. It's freezing cold outside. They were living in, Warsaw and then Vilna and whatever, and it was 20 degrees outside, Fahrenheit. And it wasn't so pasha to take your coat off and expose your arm and take your hat off and expose your head. People would get sick. So Adam Shawal and Nizil, a person is afraid that he's gonna catch cold. If he has to take his hat off, he's not gonna put the tefillin on. So what's the halacha for such a person? Yesh lahat. Or a very unfortunate a common case, a person who nebuch is getting treatments and he lost his hair and he has to keep his head warm. Right? He doesn't have hair on his head. And he's weak, he has a weakened immune system, and to expose his head could be dangerous. So if he's going to have to expose his head, he's not going to wear tefillin at all. Yesh lahatir loy lahaniach tefillah shel roish al hakayv hadak hasamuch l'roish. So he can have like a bathing cap, like a swimming, you know, a tight, thin cap on his head. V'yichasim ibnei harayim. He could put tefillin on top of the bathing cap, but he should make sure to cover his head so that people shouldn't see. In other words, it's something we don't want people to see. But the idea over here is that in this bid the evid situation, we're relying on the Rajba. That's what's going on over here, right? The Rajba had said that it should come out from the sugya that there's no chatzitza on the shel roish. So previously we said that we don't rely on the Rajba, lechatchila, but this is not a lechatchila situation. This is a bid the evid situation. We're talking about a person who's a chayla. So for a person who's a chayla, we'll rely on this shita that there's no din chatzitza on the shel roish, and he could put it on a thin cap. And the Mefarshim say dafka thin, but not thick. Once it's a thick cap, so that's just a joke. And this is also negeya for people who wear a wig. When I was in yeshiva, we had a boy who didn't have hair, and he wore a wig. And it was every morning by shachris, he would take off his wig to put on his tefillin, because you're not allowed to wear tefillin on top of a wig. That's a koiva av. That's not a koiva dak. V'yichasim ibnei arayim. V'hameinichem b'derech ze lo yivarech al shel rosh. L'maisa, if one is relying on this Rajba, since as we said before, the Rajba really is not l'maisa, it's a halacha v'loy l'maisa. So one should not really make a bracha on the shel rosh when relying on this shita. Rak yivarech al shel yad l'haniach. He should only make the bracha on the shel yad. The Mishnah Berurah over here, and these halachas, takes the opportunity to go to town against the people who have big chups on their head. He has very not nice things to say about people who grow chups. So that's a famous Mishnah Berurah. If you're ever looking for it, this is where it is. Usually people have it in the front, but he's talking about anywhere. I guess it depends on the style of the times. He probably wouldn't be happy with that either. Halacha Vav. V'iter yad yaminai. Somebody who is a left-handed individual. Im oisa kol melachtei b'smail. If he does everything left-handed, meniach b'smailai. Meniach b'smailai. So he should put tefillin on his left hand. Shehu yamin shel kol adam. Which in simple English means a left-handed person should put tefillin on his right hand. The imshaylet b'shtei yadav. What about someone who's ambidextrous? Meniach b'smail kol adam. So he should put on his left hand, right? On the left hand. In other words, someone who's ambidextrous. So basically, just to say it quickly and succinctly, a person who's right-handed should wear tefillin on his left hand. A person who's left-handed should wear tefillin on his right hand. A person who's ambidextrous is like a righty, and he should wear tefillin on his left hand. Now comes the big tumult that we spoke about a few moments ago. What about a person who writes with his right hand? The shar kol ma'isav oisa b'smaylei, and all other acts he does, actions he does with his left hand, right? Like Rabbi Goldstein. I don't know if you're familiar with Rabbi Goldstein. He's like this. He writes with his right hand. He does everything else with his left hand. Oy, kaisiv b'smoil. I have a mechutin like this. He writes with his left hand. V'shar kol ma'isav oisav yamin. He does everything else with his right hand. So what is such a person meant to do? Yeshayim she'enayach tefillin biyad shetosh koyach to be inan yad keha. The shita of the Vilna Gaon is that he should put tefillin on his weaker hand. So if, let's say, when he needs to throw a ball, he throws with his right hand. He needs to bang in a nail with a hammer. He bangs with his right hand. So his right hand is his stronger hand. He needs to lift a heavy suitcase. He lifts it with his right hand. So his left hand is his weaker hand. So he should put the tefillin on his weaker hand. We don't determine the more important hand by which hand one throws or lifts or does heavy activities with. That's not the more chashuva hand. Rather, the more chashuva hand is the hand that one writes with. Writing trumps all other activities. And he should put tefillin on the hand opposite the one that he writes with. V'hachi nohuk, says the Ramah, that is the minhag. So this is a tremendous machlokes in the Achronim. There are unlimited achronim that weigh in on this subject. And there is no lamaisa till today. There's no accepted universal practice. There are those that are naig like the Gra, that it goes in accordance with the stronger hand. The stronger hand is the ikar hand, and you put tefillin on the weaker hand. And there are those that go with the Rama, that the hand that one writes with is the ikar hand, and one puts tefillin on the other hand. Now, there are a million variations of the shaila, because often a person doesn't just write with one hand. He writes, and he does some other activities also with that hand, right? All fine motor skills he'll do with that hand, or random activities like eating. He'll hold the spoon with that hand. So the Bir Halacha discusses that could add more weight to that tzad if a person does other activities besides just writing with the writing hand. There's a famous sheet of the Bach, that the Bach more or less says, it's a complicated cheshbon, but the bottom line of the Bach is that an ambidextrous person, an ambidextrous person is certainly like a right-handed person, but someone like this who writes with one hand and does all activities with the other hand doesn't make a difference which hand he writes with and which hand he does the other things with. According to the Bach, it's always going to come out that he has a din of a righty. And there's a cheshbon in the Bach why that is. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein comes to the same conclusion for a different reason. So according to them, somebody who writes with one hand and does all activities with the other hand, at the end of the day, he'll have to put tefillin on his left hand. That's their shita. But like I said before, there are those, many people who have this issue, and after davening, they'll put tefillin on the other hand. There is such a practice for sure. I know Rabbi Eliashiv recommended that people do that sometimes, and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein himself told people to do that. In other words, even though he had the shita that he held halacha lamaisa for a bar mitzvah boy, but if, let's say, a 25-year-old chasheva person would come to him and say, what should I do? He would tell him to do like I wrote in my tshuva, that's what I hold. But after davening, it's worthwhile to be yotzei the other shita and put tefillin on the other hand. We just covered like 300 years of halachic literature in 5 minutes. Yeah?
The Bach is here.
Yeah. Zion. I think the Bir Halacha brings the Bach. If you look in the Bir Halacha, I think he brings it. Afal pi sheyesh la'adam makah b'makam anachas tefillin yaniach tefillin. Ki makam yesh b'zirayel yaniach shtei tefillin. Let's say a person has a makah in the makam tefillin. So he should put tefillin on anyway because there's plenty of room there. Which is funny because we discussed yesterday that it's highly questionable how much room there is at all. But be that as it may, I'm saying Chazal say that there is room for two pairs of tefillin. So there are, I'll mention parenthetically that this is a big subject. What is the correct size of tefillin? Of course, a lot of the places can talk about, well, if I can fit two pairs of tefillin there, then that means that I can make them smaller. And then other places can say, yeah, but it says that you can fit two. It doesn't say you can fit three. So that means that there's a minimum size as well. So there's a big discussion in the Achronim what the correct size for a pair of tefillin is, which we're going to get to way later in Simin Lamed Beis, in the Mems. But again, he should put on tefillin even if he has a makkah in that area. Ki ha'etzem ha'samach le'beis ha'shechi mechetziav ad ha'kubadai humokam hanachas tefillin, like we discussed yesterday. So the Rama mentioned this in the beginning of the Simin, and now the Mechaber is mentioning it over here, right? That the bone which runs from the shoulder down to the elbow, right? You take half of that bone and below, and that's the makam hanochas tefillin. So if one has, the point is that if one has a wound in part of the area, he still has more area available to him, and he should put tefillin on. Ches. Oirich ritzua shel yad kidei shetakef es hazroya v'yikshar mimena hakesher v'timtach ad etzba emtzois v'yichra mimena ad etzboi shloisha krichos v'yikshar. So that means that the required length of a tefillin shel yad is as follows, right? I'm putting it on incorrectly because it's the other hand, right? But it should be enough that you can put on the tefillin and then stretch the ritzua down to the finger, wrap it three times on the finger, and then tie it around the hand. That's the length of the tefillin. From here down to the finger, three times on the finger, and done. That's the, as long as you can have that amount, your ritzua is long enough.
The minig ha'olam, as we know, is to wrap on the forearm 6 or 7 krichas.
I think most people have the minig of 7, but it's a question of how the 7 are arranged. Is it 7 full and 2 halves, or 6 full and 2 halves, which is 7? So on that, there are different practices.
Ve'ein lichar charetzua al hatitura kedei lechazka al hayad. One should not wrap the ritzua on the titura.
Again, we mentioned that the titura was the base, so one should not wrap the ritzua on the titura in order to strengthen it. However, the Paiskim say that that's if you're doing it for no reason. But if your tefillin don't sit well on your arm and they slide around and they move out of place, then it would be recommended to secure it by wrapping the ritzua on top of the titura to keep it in the correct area. I understand, that's kedei lechazka, but if it's not in the correct place, you're not going to be yaitza. So if it's a question of not being yaitza, so obviously that trumps everything else. If you're going to be yaitza, and it's just not as secure as you would like, so okay, so then work it out. But if it's going to slip, which like I'm saying, by bar mitzvah boys, I'm sorry? Yeah, so you see, a lot of times by bar mitzvah boys, you'll see some of them pull it so tight that they cut off the circulation. The whole arm turns purple and it's pikuach nefesh. Others have it so loose that it's sliding all over the place. So I guess, you know, as we all know, it takes time to figure out the correct balance. Sometimes with new ritzuas also, a person gets new ritzuas and they're stiff, they're not yet adjusted to the shape of the body, so it's difficult to keep the tefillin in place, so sometimes this etzah could be employed.
Tes. Mokem hanochas tefillah shel roish mehascholas ikrei haseir mimitzchoy ad seif hamokem shemoiche shel tine greifes.
So this halacha also is unfortunately not well enough, I don't want to say it's not well enough known, but it's not well enough observed. Thank you, that's the word I was looking for. It's not well enough observed. Sometimes you see people and the tefillin mamish come down onto their forehead, and the Mishnah Berurah shreis chai v'kayam, that if a person's tefillin come down onto his forehead, he's mamish not yoytze the mitzvah, it's a bracha levatola. And a person has to be very careful that the tefillin, the front edge of the tefillin does not come lower than the roots of the hair. Now, as far as where the roots of the hair are, so many people, like myself and others, the roots of their hair in the front are not where they used to be. So over there, the Paiskim say that it goes kifi the way it used to be, right? Some people lost all the hair, right? People as they get older, some people are totally bald. So what? So the potter for mitzvah tefillin, avada, the chayev to wear tefillin, and the evaluation is made according to where the roots of their hair used to be. Another shayla is a widow's peak. Some people, the front of their hair comes down like that. So I believe the Paiskim say in that case, the emes is that I don't know what the Paiskim say in that case, but I would imagine that one doesn't have to observe the halacha from all the way back where it's full. That would seem unreasonable. The pashtus would be, I have to look it up to make sure, but it would seem to me that the pashtus would be that one could have the tefillin lower down as well. And another case that's very common is when the tefillin are hanging in the air, right? Some people's heads are shaped such that the tefillin hang in the air. So over there also, one has to have it that it's not forward of the front lines. Yeah. And it has to be all the way back.
It goes by the bone structure. is not only the end makom, it's also the beginning of the makom. So it's all about the bone structure.
Okay, we have to do some homework on that. It certainly sounds interesting. Yes?
I have a very high hairline.
Yeah.
And I can't put it there because the knot, it won't. So I went to a soap for many years ago and all it can't really help. Like, it comes very low. Otherwise.
So I had the Shaila Mamish a few weeks ago. I had a bar mitzvah boy who came to me and he had an extremely high hairline. Extremely high hairline. And I called a few rabbanim to try and get him a heter to have it, to keep it lower, and they wouldn't give in. The Rabbanim wouldn't give in. Now, all the Rabbanim that I asked just answered Misvara. I'm not saying that anybody went into the Sugya or wrote a tshuva about it, but the Misvara, I thought like what you were saying. I mean, I don't know about bone structure or whatever. I'm not arguing. I don't fully understand it. But I was just tining that the Pashto says, Ishko lefi roiv b'nei adam. In other words, if a person has an unusual situation, the Pashto says that Shigol Fi Roiv B'nei Adam, he's not regular. In other words, the din is given for regular people within the realm of regular. If a person is out of the realm of regular, he should be have a din of everybody else, but they didn't seem to be masking. So I don't know, we have to, it's a pella to me also. We have to look into it.
Young kids have hair on the forehead, and by the time they're 19, it disappears.
I don't disagree. I have no objection.